Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday we start a new sermon series on the Gospel of Luke as we prepare for Easter. Luke wrote one quarter of the New Testament between the books of Luke and Acts. That's a total of 52 chapters. He was a Gentile believer and a doctor. Luke was written for a Greek audience. Luke 5:31 says, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." This past couple of years, I've had to find a new doctor, a new dentist, and a new eye doctor. I really liked my doctors in Columbia, but with the move to California 5 years ago, it was finally time to start switching over to new doctors. I asked people for their recommendations before going to the new doctors. Other people's opinions mattered to me, but I had to look into it myself before I made the final decision. The title of the sermon series is The Doctor Will See You Now. Luke, being a doctor, knew how important it was to treat people's physical pain and hurt. Luke wrote his gospel so people would know Jesus was this great spiritual doctor to heal the hurts of our hearts. Luke 1:4 says, "I wrote this so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Have you researched Jesus for yourself to make sure he is the right doctor for you? I invite you to read the Gospel of Luke the next 2 months. It's 24 chapters long and contains the most complete account of Jesus' life from birth to death and finally to his ascension. You won't be disappointed. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people, and thank you for listening.
We praise you, Almighty God, for the gift of this day. Your Spirit has gathered us to be the Church of Jesus Christ.
May we grow in your wisdom and grace. May we worship you with awe and wonder.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your joy. Our first hymn this morning is Worship the King.
Senior High puppets lead our children's time.
Good morning. Thank you for coming today. And hello to our online friends too. Have you ever tried to catch a bubble or eaten cotton candy? As wonderful as they are, the bubbles pop just as soon as they land on your hand, and the cotton candy melts as soon as you put it in your mouth. Do you ever want more? More toys, gadgets, clothes, shoes? Well, none of that will make you happy. You just keep wanting more. Well, stories in the Bible tell of people who wanted more, but it never made them happy.
The word contentment is what we look for. We have a church where we can learn more about Jesus and God. We have a family who loves us, gives us food, shelter, and many of the things we need and want. That is what contentment is all about. Imagine as someone who loves cake so much that they wouldn't share the birthday cake with their friends. I think they would get sick, and the friends would be sad too.
In our Bible text today, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who he calls his son. He is giving him advice on living and telling him to be content with what he has. In our scripture reading, Jesus talks about not worrying about tomorrow, as tomorrow will have enough to concern us with. We must be loving and kind with others instead of focusing on stuff that we think will make us happy.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for all you have given us, especially Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being with us every day. Help us to focus on loving others and being content with what we have instead of wanting more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our children's choir, God's Singers, brings our special music, Great and Might. Our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Find Us Faithful, I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lead your church, O God, so that your word may be written in our hearts. Lead us in the way of Christ Jesus, your Son, so that we may share in his ministry and enjoy his life. Lead us to the truth that sets all your children free. We pray in the name and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our crucified, risen, and reigning Lord. Amen. The first lesson is from Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and these are Jesus' words speaking. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory were not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for today. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after all you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, God singers. We're going to be in 1 Timothy again as we finish up our series, Find Us Faithful. If you want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know, what's your philosophy on life? Kind of what's a goal that you go by? You know, the Rolling Stones had a song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Man, when I hear that song, I crank it up on the radio. Man, you know, the whole theme is that he's, you know, trying to make himself look good. He's watching TV and trying to copy what looks like joy and looks like happiness, man. He's watching the television and he's trying to meet the right girl. He's trying to look the right way, because if he does that, man, life has got to be good. You know, I can't get no satisfaction because it's not working out for him. Maybe your philosophy is Kansas, dust in the wind. Just doesn't matter. You know, it's just, you know, we're just all dust in the wind. We're just all floating around. Maybe, as my grandpa said, death and taxes. That's life, death and taxes. You know, you work hard and then you die. Some people have said, you know, life is an oyster. Or as the immortal words of a Forrest Gump, life is what? Like a box of what? Chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. And so maybe that's your philosophy, just like a feather kind of floating around, you know, in the wind, and we just go here and there, and there's really no, you know, no direction to it. Well, when we look here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul's going to make it very clear how he looks at his life and the life as a Christian. And he's going to try to push this or pass it on to Timothy. And it's a life that we need to frame our view of the world that we're in and the life that we're in. And I want you to pay special close attention to the words that he used here to drive home the vivid image of what his focus on life is all about. And it's going to sound serious. I don't think it is a box of chocolates. I don't think it is just dust in the wind. I don't think it's something we're just trying to satisfy whatever looks good or feels good. Paul gives us the focus here in chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 6, and there's going to be three sections of Scripture. The first one's going to be real easy to memorize. It should be something that we should put in our memory bank for ourselves. The other two are going to have words in them that, well, I think we can applicably hold on to ourselves, and we can put that in our minds to understand what God's wanting us to do in our life here. And then the third one's going to give us something that we need to protect or look after, something important that is valuable. But two things in this message here, two things in this passage of Scripture will determine our eternal destiny. Number one, how we handle earthly resources goes a long way toward determining our eternal destiny. He's going to talk about that. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. And then what makes our top priorities, what things are most important to us, goes a long way in determining our eternal destiny. So start with me there in verse 6. This is the first section. This is the first verse to put in your memory bank. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Very simple. We can put that one together. We can memorize that one easily. We've talked about godliness. Godliness is the proper attitude, the reverence, and all the pursuit of things that are godly and putting them into our lives. We want to pursue the things of God to have godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. One of the confirmands has the verse Philippians 4:13. I've learned, you know, through all things, you know, through Christ gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But before that, he's talking about contentment. That verse, people have used it for all types of situations. They used it for facing a difficult situation or facing, you know, some type of a ball game or something going on in their life. Paul writes that verse about worldly wealth. He says, I've had a lot, I've not had anything, but he says, I've learned to be content in any and all situations. Through Christ, I can do all things. And so when Paul's writing this to Timothy, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And then he explains it. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But we have food and clothing. We will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We've talked about this before. It doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. Paul is thinking in his mind of people, and if you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, he gives some names to some of these people that started the race of faith, that started, you know, a Christian lifestyle, but then they got distracted. They got kind of, you know, something else occupied their time, and they wandered from the faith. It wasn't on purpose. They just kind of started focusing on the wrong thing. I don't know about you, but my kids make fun of me in this way, and I kind of made fun of my dad this way. My dad still has the best eyesight while driving of any person I've ever met. He can spot a squirrel at 100 yards doing 75 miles an hour doing Highway 54, all right? He's always looking to the side. I'm saying, Dad, we need to pay attention to the front here, okay? But he can spot deer and turkey and squirrels and eagles and hawks as we're driving along, and I'll be doing the same thing. I'll be visiting with my kids. We'll be driving down the road when they were young, and all of a sudden I'd say, squirrel, squirrel, or turkey, or there's a deer over there. And I think that happens with our faith. We put our commitment in Jesus. We put our faith in Him. We come to church on Sunday, and then Monday comes and we go, squirrel, squirrel. And we get distracted from it. And if we miss enough Sundays, if we miss enough fellowship time, if we miss enough Bible time, we wander away. And that's what he's saying here. They kind of got distracted. But then he tells us then his focus of life, his kind of mindset of life. And it's the mindset of the Christian. And this is the second passage of Scripture. But you, man of God, you, Christian, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. He says, don't just stay close to the line. Don't stay just in the ore of it where you can see it, but you're not really part of it. He says, you know, flee it. Run away from this desire to be, you know, have all the things of the world. He says, run away from them. You know, don't dilly-dally around them. That's a southern word. Don't dilly-dally around them. He says, you know, don't just take, you know, up a chance to, you know, stay close, but, you know, you're far enough away that it doesn't send you. He says, flee from these. But then he tells us, these things are the things that we're to run to. Righteousness, having a right relationship with God. He says, pursue those things. Don't just stumble into them. Pursue them. Pursue godliness, the right attitude, the things of God. Pursue faith. We say, well, that sounds pretty simple. Paul's idea is that there's something more to it than just saying, I've got faith. He says, you want to pursue faith. You want to make sure that faith is strong. Love. The love of God, not just the loving of people that's nice to you, loving of people that's kind to you, but loving all people and showing them God's love. Endurance. Because life is tough. Life is difficult. Life throws unexpected things your way all the time. And then I think it's an interesting one, gentleness. In the eyes of God, those are the things that we should pursue. But then he gives us the mindset. He starts to use these words now to give us the framework of what our life really is like. Verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many enemies. Do you get those words? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life that is yours. Paul uses that imagery all through to all the churches that he writes to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Earlier in 1 Timothy, he tells them, recall these things that you may fight the battle well. He gives us the idea that this life as a Christian is a battle, that we're in a struggle and that we need to be prepared and that we need to be ready. He also uses imagery of an athletic race. Philippians chapter 3, he writes them, he says, not that I've already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind me, and I strain toward what is ahead of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, we're in a race. We need to be focused on the finish line and not looking to the side and be distracted. He tells us these are the things that we are to take hold of, not to lose our grip on them. He says, take hold of the eternal life for which you were called when you made your good confession. He's reminding them. We've got confirmation coming up for people that made their faith public, confessing Jesus in front of a group of people and then being baptized in front of them. They're making their good confession in front of many witnesses. He says, fight the fight and take hold of the prize. Today we've got a couple games going on. And in a couple weeks we'll have the big game. And when they get done, they'll want to hold on to the Lombardi Trophy. I sure hope it's not the San Francisco 49ers, Chris. I sure hope it isn't. All right, I want you to retire that 49er uniform for another year. All right? But they're going to grasp it. They're going to hold it. They want to show people this is what we've worked our whole life for. This is it right here. Just one championship. The Stanley Cup for NHL. Every member of the team gets to spend one day with the Stanley Cup. They get to take it anywhere they want to. They can do anything they want to with it. Because this is what they're holding on to. This is something that they've worked their whole life for. Paul is writing Timothy and says, take hold of the eternal life, heaven. What makes heaven heaven is not our loved ones. I'm looking forward to seeing my faithful relatives. What makes heaven heaven is the presence of Jesus. I'm looking forward to having hearing his mention my name when I'm bound on my knees, because it says every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Take hold of the eternal life. And then we skip forward to verse 17, the third section of Scripture. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. I think Jesus said a parable about that, about the parable of the talents. He said what's wrong is when we put our hope in wealth instead of our hope in God. But then look what he says. He echoes the words of what Judy read from Matthew chapter 6. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. And then look at the third word that he uses there. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. There's something that we've been given. We've been given the knowledge and the faith of Jesus Christ. We've been given the teachings about Jesus. How do we guard it? How do we protect it? You know, I've got a gun safe at home, and I put some, you know, my grandpa's 30-30s in there. It's over 80, almost 90 years old now. I've got it protected in my gun safe because it's a very valuable piece of our history for our family. I put some wills down in there. I've got some other things that are down in there. We want to guard and we want to protect that. But I think so many times we approach our faith and the things of God very lackadaisical. Just something that we'll get to that when we get to it. But when we look at the words of Paul to Timothy right here, he's given the impression, you better be ready, you better be focused. Take hold of it. Don't let it go. Guard it, because someone's trying to take it away from you. See, I know that God knows we're in a race. He gives us the weapons, it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people in our community, our people on the opposite side of the political wing. It's not the people, you know, in our families. But our struggles against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. God knows we're in struggle. He's given us the armor. And the rest of Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, all those things. We've got to put, he knows we need to have this suit on. Satan knows we're in a battle. Judy just read it. Be alert and be sober minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We are in a spiritual battle. I think the only ones that don't know that we're in a battle sometimes is us, because we're distracted. Squirrel, turkey, deer, big house, big car, hobbies, activities. We get distracted. And Paul says, instead of taking hold and grasping the trophies of life, take hold of life that is truly life. And how do we do that? We got to look at our priorities. We got to look at the things that it's easy. You can say what you want, but all you got to do is kind of look at your checkbook, look at the activity on your calendars. Those two are kind of the dashboards of our life. Are we taking hold? Are we fighting the good fight? Are we guarding what's been entrusted to us as the gospel? You know, when I started at Columbia College, the first year that I was there, they don't contribute to your retirement plan. They want to see if, you know, if you're going to be a good employee. So you got to work a year. And then they start investing. I thought it was 8% of my salary went into my retirement. That was an awesome deal. But then they have another little caveat. You've got to stay 7 years. I never knew what this term meant. I had to look it up until I was fully vested. I thought that meant a vest. Did I need to wear a vest on a regular? I didn't know exactly. And I looked up and said, you have to stay here 7 years before you get all the retirement we put in. So if you leave year five, you only get a portion. You don't get all, you only get a portion of it. And when we look at that passage, the tribute talks about laying up treasure for ourselves on a firm foundation. When we're pursuing the things of God, the righteousness, the godliness, the faith, the love, the gentleness, and the endurance. And then it says here, to do good deeds, be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. We're vesting ourselves in our spiritual retirement. You want to know how you focus, you fight the good fight? You take hold of the life, you guard what's entrusted to you. You vest yourself in your spiritual retirement. Look at your priorities. Look at your checkbook. Look at your children around you and say, what do you want to have left for them? What do you want them to say about you? And so when we look at this passage more, how do you look at life? Is it just a matter of satisfying the desires and the needs and the wants that I have so when I get done that, you know, I just want my kids to be happy? I hear that a lot. I just want my kids to be happy. I want them to have a happy life. I don't know about you, but I think regularly, I want my kids and my grandkids to spend eternity in God's presence. And you don't do that unless you're in the focus. This morning, the song that I picked, it is Well With My Soul. Is the relationship we have, Jesus, is it well with your soul? Is what He's provided us enough? If everything was gone, would our relationship with Jesus be enough? Paul says it is. It's more than we can ever ask or imagine. So let's sing this morning, It Is Well With My Soul. Father, it's been good to be in your house today. Help us to focus on that crown, Father, that day when you call our name. We get to go forward. Instead of getting a medal around our neck, we get a crown of righteousness put on our head, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us to fight through all the struggles and all the heartaches and all the hurts, all the losses, all the deceptions that are out there guard what's been entrusted to us, our faith in Jesus, the teachings about Jesus. Help us, Father, that you would find us faithful. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone here. Bless them and keep them, and everybody watching online as well. We ask this all in your name. Amen.